He's got a beautiful backswing.
Dad, oh, he got all of that one.
Oh my gosh.
That is amazing.
Layup with an iron into the hazard.
Oh my God, you had to deal with the golf course people too!
Well, that wasn't quite what I meant, you know?
What's up, everybody? Colby Powell and Taylor Williams with you for another episode of the 73rd Hole, hanging out with you on this Friday. I know times are a little uncertain right now, but we're happy to be back on this Friday. We'll be doing a lot of player profiles throughout this quarantine hiatus from golf, if you will. And today we're going to dive in, talk a little bit about Jordan Spieth. Taylor, I'm looking forward to these player profiles. I think it's going to be cool to take these deep dives and look at some of these guys' games in a way that we wouldn't have time to do if we were talking about the tournaments from week to week. I think that that's kind of one upside, is we can get into some deeper conversations about guys' games like we're going to do today with Jordan Spieth.
Yeah, I know. This is something that we've had on the agenda for some time now, and for this to be our first one, I'm very excited for it. And the reason we went with Spieth is because he's kind of the hot topic between kind of our little group, per se. My dad is one of the biggest Jordan Spieth fans you'll ever find, and I give him a lot of slack for it, especially. So, and you know, there's a lot of different people who will say, you know, why is he struggling? You know, will he bounce back? Will he get back to his form that he had in 2015? You know, he is a three-time major champion. So, but currently ranked 56th in the world rankings, a little bit off of the form that he had back then.
Yeah, definitely. So this is what I wanted to do. So we're going to go through some analytics. We're going to talk about his swing. What I wanted to do was try to pinpoint where it went wrong for Jordan Spieth. How did he go from being the number one player in the world, telling Michael Greller, go get that at the U.S. Open, the Open Championship in 2017, whenever he took down Matt Kuchar in his Skechers. I wanted to see, where did it go wrong? So you pull up that 2017 season, and it wasn't just the Open. It was a great year. I mean, starting, you know, obviously the golf season has the wraparound calendar. So starting at Hero, he had sixth. He finished third at Kapalua, third at Wiley, ninth at Scottsdale. He won at Pebble, and then he had an 11th at the Masters, second at Colonial. He won Travelers, and then he won the Open. So that was a really good seven-month stretch for Jordan Spieth. And if I would have told you on June 24th, 2017, July 24th, 2017, the day after Jordan Spieth won the Open Championship, if I would have told you that we would be having this conversation in March of 2020 and he would not have won again on the PGA Tour, everyone would have thought that I had lost my mind and I was just being a Jordan Spieth hater. But that's the case. Whenever you look at what it's been since then, he had a couple runner-ups in the playoffs that year, but even, you know, 2018, 2019, the top 10s are few and far between, and we start seeing a lot more of like 41st at the Players last year. Colonial, where he finished second in 2017, 32nd last year, 42nd at the Travelers, where he had won, 60th at the WGC Bridgestone. It really went downhill in a hurry, and now we're looking at the 56th ranked player in the world, and it really seems like it was kind of the start of that 2018 season where it started to go downhill and you saw his stats kind of decline. And instead of just being a little slump that he broke out of, it's now turned into a 2 year plus slump that Jordan Spieth is stuck in.
Yeah, and whenever you look at Jordan's stats, you know, he's kind of had some weird years, I guess would be to say, because in 2017, he was second on the tour in strokes gained approach to green.
Yep, he was. Strokes gained approach to green and strokes gained tee to green, he was second on the tour in both of those in 2017.
Second on both of those, yeah. So you can tell, you know, a lot of people just say Spieth is just this great putter, you know, and that's how he got it. So 2017, one of the years that we're referencing, he was 48th on the tour in strokes gained putting. So that year, it was a ball-striking year, and he was 8th strokes gained around the green as well. So his short game definitely prevailed there as well. You know, even
let me ask you this. In 2015, when he was on top of the golfing world, do you think he was higher ranked in strokes gained putting or strokes gained tee to green?
At the time, you would say you would have thought that it'd be putting, but based off what you're saying, it's probably tee to green.
It is tee to green. He was fourth on the tour in strokes gained tee to green, ninth in putting. That was a phenomenal year for him. The only two where he was outside the top 10 were strokes gained off the tee and strokes gained approach the green, and he was 15th and 11th in those respectively. So 2015 was incredible, but then you look at strokes gained. So let's go from that to 2019. Take a guess.
2015 as well. He led the tour in stroke scoring average 68.93 as well.
Yeah, it was a great season. It really was a phenomenal season of golf. Where do you think he ranked strokes gained tee to green in 2019? You have it in front of you?
Yes, yeah, I do, absolutely. It was in the exact number is 176.
In strokes gained tee to green?
Oh, in strokes gained, I thought you said off the tee. Tee to green is 157.
157th on tour, down from fourth two years earlier. I mean, how do you explain that?
Yeah, and you can go back and look at some of these numbers. So one of the things that you'll see back in 2015, the great year that we talk about, his off the tee, his left and right miss tendency. So
you don't want to have a two-way miss ever.
Two-way miss is bad. So in 2015, he hit essentially 12.5% of the time he hit it in the left rough, 12.5% of the time. 13.5% of the time he hit it in the right rough. So those are really low numbers, by the way, too, especially for that. And we showed how well he was swinging at the time.
12 and 13, if I'm doing the math right, that leaves 75% of the time that you're not in either the right or the left rough.
Correct. Yes. So, and then in 2019, it resulted in he hit it in the left rough 17% of the time, and then he hit it in the right rough 16.4% of the time. So essentially, over the course of 100 drives, he is hitting 4.5 more in the left rough and essentially 3 more in the right rough.
Yeah, so he's hitting, you know, like you said, every 7 tee shots, every 100 tee shots, he's hitting 7 less in the fairway, and he's increased both his right and left misses, and it's just causing him to kind of be all over the place, and the ball striking is what's really gotten him in the most trouble. The strokes gained putting really hasn't dipped at all. The strokes gained putting in 2019, he was second. On tour last year in strokes gained putting, so worst year of his career as far as winning tournaments and positioning goes at tournaments.
So, yeah, so in 2019, this last year, he was 35th on the tour in scoring average 70.45. And if it wasn't for that second in strokes gained putting, he probably wouldn't have been anywhere close to that. And an interesting stat I saw about Spieth's putting last year. So over the course of, you know, first round, second round, third round, fourth round, last year he ranked number one in first round putting. He ranked number one in second round putting. Third round putting, he was 142nd. And in final round
putting. Talk about the weekend woes.
Weekend. And then Sunday, his putt was 57. So you can tell there was a drastic drop off in the weekend. Could have been, could be a mental thing. A
little pressure putts,
We'll get back. We'll get into that just a little bit.
It's
got
to be
a
mental thing. I mean, the stroke doesn't change from Friday to Saturday.
No, not to change that drastically. I mean, obviously,
you get
on the weekend, yeah, you're going to get some more slope greens. Especially, you know, Spieth used to playing in the later group, so the greens are bumpier at that point, too. But at the same time, you're not going to go 140 places worse just on those conditions.
Yeah, so another thing you can look at is money earned. And if you're Jordan Spieth, you don't want to look at how far this has fallen off. But he's doing okay financially. We don't have to feel bad for Jordan Spieth's bank account. In 2015, in 26 events, he made $12 million. 26 events made $12 million. In 2019, in 23 events, I mean, think about this. 23 events, you get what, 1.7 for winning some of these big ones. You get 400,000 for third in some of these. 23 events in 2019, he made $2 million.
Yeah, in 2019, yeah.
That's crazy.
His best finish was what, third last year at the
PGA.
At Bethpage, yeah, Koepka and DJ as well. And, you know,
you only have four top tens in 23 starts.
You only had that many. It's not going to be very well. And you go back, like, for example, 2015, he had, 10, 11? He had 18 top tens, essentially. So, I mean, that's just crazy to see, you know, how much his game has changed over that time.
Yeah, in 2019, he had as many missed cuts as he had top tens, which, yeah. I mean, that's insane. And he had twice as many finishes outside the top 50 as he had top tens, which just doesn't completely make any sense. I know you were looking at, like, some launch angle type stuff. Looking at his actual ball flight and maybe what's changed from when he was on top to now when he's clearly just fighting his golf swing and not hitting it very well.
Yeah, so there has been a correlation over, you'll notice, you know, players who do, their skills do diminish a little bit. You know, we see all kinds of players like Henrik Stenson or Lee Westwood. I mean, even these great players who are even able to get their game back, they will slouch, you know, to go for a little bit, you know, drop in the hundreds of the world golf rankings. And whenever you see players do that or players lose their game, a lot of times a big correlation is that their launch angle off the tee is a lot lower. And so I went back and I kind of looked to see if maybe this was the issue. And so I went back to 2014 through 2019. So starting in 2014, his launch angle was 11.39, which kind of depends on how much club head speed you have and depends what level you play at, obviously. But for these guys, that's a pretty good, a pretty acceptable launch angle there. You could have a little higher, but nevertheless, it's very consistent, as you'll see throughout here. So 2014 was 11.39, 2015 was 11.74, 2016, 11.67, 2017, 11.88. 2018 was hitting a little bit higher at 12.26, and that was he didn't have the best off the tee game that year, but that was the year that his iron game was. Or I'm sorry, that was 2017. Never mind, I apologize. And but this is where the big correlation happened. 2019, his launch angle was a 10.01.
Yikes!
So
that is such a huge drop off. And whether you're a diehard or a casual fan, explain if somebody's not a diehard, if they're a casual fan, explain the drop off from having your launch angle at 12 degrees to having your launch angle at 10 degrees.
Oh, for these guys at this level, it's incredibly drastic. And you'll see the lowest that we mentioned on there was his first year on tour fully, and it was 11.39, and then this lowest is essentially 10. So he's dropped almost 1.5 degrees in launch angle, which is, I mean, it's crazy. And it goes to show, you know, he's been hitting a lot more low hooks off the tee, so that contributes a lot to that as well. It's definitely something that is, that should definitely be something he's concerned with.
Yeah, it should be. And my thing is, you know that he and Michael and whoever are out on the range. They're working with the track man. They know that his numbers are different. They know that it's off. I'm sure that they've tinkered with equipment. How much of this is just mental, and Jordan Spieth mentally doesn't have the confidence in his golf swing and his golf game to make it happen right now? Because, you know, they have to know this. Everything we're talking about, all the strokes gain statistics, the launch angle, the left and right misses, this is all stuff that you know Jordan Spieth is aware of, but knowing it and being able to fix it are two drastically different things. We all know golf is, you know, 50% physical and then 90% mental. Is that mental side, you think, what's bringing him down so much?
It definitely could be. You know, that unfortunately, that's the one thing that we can't measure on anyone or any player is what's going on between the ears, and a lot of things can happen there, good or bad. And, you know, a lot of times, especially in our group, you know, we'll make fun of Spieth. You know, he stands over the ball, he'll look at the target 25 times, it seems like, and it's like, you know, hit the ball, dude, what, you know. But, you know, players like Cantlay, you know, they'll do the same thing, you know, so that's not necessarily a telltale thing. But you'll notice sometimes Spieth looks at it more times than, like, he doesn't look at the shot, the hole or the target the same amount of times each repetition. You know, sometimes he does a little more, sometimes he's a little bit more fidgety. So you don't know if he'll necessarily trust what's going on, but I do think he does have some bit of mental, and as we saw with his putting, what it was last year.
Yeah, that's funny. You talk about kind of the inability to pull the trigger. That's something that obviously Kevin Na famously struggled with years back. And I even last week, whenever we were playing, we were on the second tee box, and I was ready to hit, and I had to step off, reset, and then swing. And I even told you, I just feel like my alignment is off, and I feel like whenever I make this swing, that God knows where the golf ball is going to come out. And it can be something so minor in your golf swing, and if you just don't feel comfortable and confident with it, it is going to be hard to, quote-unquote, pull the trigger and let it fly if you feel like it could just go anywhere off the face.
If very rarely you ever get overshot and don't feel confident about it and it works out how you want to. I mean, just never, essentially, does that happen. And, you know, there's a couple of things that I see in Spieth's game that are technical issues that he may be working on the course, trying to take out there, just because, you know, he's searching for something. One of the things that I noticed looking at videos on his swing from when he was at the height of his game and even those great ball striking years he had to now, you'll notice he hangs back on a lot of shots. You know, for example,
hangs back on his right side.
On his right side, yeah. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So he'll, you notice back when he was winning the Masters and contending, you know, before he hit chunked in the water on 12, you know, when he almost went back-to-back Masters, he was posing into that left side the whole time. You know, he could almost like fall over forward on the left just because he had so much weight over there. And now you watch him swing, and he has a lot of shots where he's hitting it and then like he steps backwards, you know, to look at it. He's not, you know, there's a real famous Gary Player drill out there where he would, you know, essentially make a swing and then swing his back leg through the ball where he's like running to the target. And I think that's something that Spieth maybe should try to work on, because he's definitely has trouble with his weight transition at this time, which is which I think is causing that low launch angle as well.
Yeah, that's something
one contributor to it at least.
Yeah, and that's something even in your own golf game at home, that's something that I've had to try at times is walking through golf shots, because I fight a hook. And what happens whenever you keep all your weight back on your backside? Oftentimes, if you don't get that, if you don't save it with your hands at impact, it's going to come snapping left and it's going to go out of bounds. So I've had to do the little Gary Player drill, walking through it, bringing that right leg around. Maybe he has tried that and he just can't quite get it right. But it's something about his swing definitely feels different than it did 3-4 years ago.
And it could be, you know, when you're talking about weight shift, you know, a lot of times you'll see in the better players, and sometimes I see this where he does it too, where he's almost shifting to the left too early, which then makes him go backwards on the downswing, because, you know, you're coming in so steep on it that if you keep going forward, you're going to drive the driver into the ground.
Right.
So, you know, you have to be able to hang back on it from that point just to be able to do anything, and that's why I think you're seeing this two-way miss. One of the contributing factors is this two-way miss where he's hanging back on it, and sometimes you hang back on it, you keep that face a little open, ball's going to go right, sail, not go very far at all. You know, where you come through it, get those hands going through it a little bit, you're going to start it down the left side, and it's going to hook into the trees.
Yeah, looking at his strokes gain stats, I just can't get over how far he's gone with his strokes gain stuff. And I'm looking at it for 2020. So he's got 15 measured rounds in 2020 for strokes gain. He's 195th off the tee, 198th approaching the green. He's actually 10th around the green, but 90th in putting, 161st tee to green. I just 195th off the tee, 198th approaching the green. Do you remember in 2015 when every time he hit an iron shot, you felt like it was going to be inside 20 feet? And now he's 198th on the tour in 2020 in strokes gained approaching the green, to the point where we talked about it last week before the players. He was like 7,700 on DraftKings, 70-1 in Vegas. And everybody knew that even that low at such value, he was untouchable, because you just know he's not going to play well. It's just staggering to really look at the strokes gain numbers and see how far he's fallen in just a few short years from a time whenever he was one of the best players in the game. And he really was he was the best player in the game there for a few years, to where he's at now, where we're looking at a guy who ranks, you know, in the bottom 100s on the tour in all these strokes gained statistics.
Yeah. And even I want to go break down a little bit more of the swing here in just a little bit, but I'll go down to some of these other metrics and kind of where the areas in his iron game that I feel like, you know, kind of went astray. So back in 2017, we talked about that was the year he was strokes gained second on the tour in strokes gained approach to green. So in that year, from 150 to 175 yards, he was first on tour, which is, you know, you're going to have a lot of shots in these areas.
So when you're hitting 7 and 8 irons,
pretty much, essentially,
you get a lot of shots from 165 on the tour.
Yeah, the majority of, you look at the amount of tips, they're generally going to be between 150 and 200, occasionally 225, depending on if they're playing long courses. But so in 2017, 150 to 175, he was first. 175 to 200, he was 17th. And going back shorter, 125 to 150, he was 5th. And going back to 2019 here, you'll see where it drastically changes. 150 to 175, where he was first.
I don't even want to know.
He was first 2 years ago. 2 years later, he was 175th.
How does that happen? 175th?
This is the reason I think it's happening on these irons. And, you know, we've talked about the last couple of weeks with him playing so well, Sungjae Im, you know, before golf got, you know, golf's canceled, obviously, with his slow tempo. And while it's slow, it's the same every time.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same. And one of the things I noticed with Spieth, from what I've seen back in 2015, 2017, he had a little bit of a quicker tempo off the ball, but it was still the same every time. It was the same tempo, same everything. And now when I watch him play, sometimes I see him take it back faster, sometimes I see him take it back slow, sometimes I see him take it back medium. He doesn't seem to me to have a consistent tempo, which is getting his body and arms and essentially his whole body out of sequence from where it needs to be, from where it was when he was playing at this elite level.
And then his timing's off. If your timing's off, you're screwed.
Oh, it's horrible. And his distance control is going to be ridiculously bad. So that is definitely something that I feel like that Spieth should, you know, try to look at going on going forward. Just trying to, you know, he played so well at that time. Go back to what you were doing at that time. Get that same tempo you had, and then try to, you know, get your body moving in that sequence. But for right now, especially in his iron shots, it just seems so inconsistent to me.
I almost wonder, we're obviously in a break from golf right now, and we don't know when golf's going to be back. I almost wonder if this hiatus from golf is a good thing for someone like Jordan Spieth, who is struggling so much, because he now, for a while anyway, he's not going to have the pressure to go out and put it together in a tournament. He's going to have plenty of time to take a couple weeks, just unwind, relax, fall back away from the game for a couple of weeks, and then really get back into it and try to find himself. And, you know, for a guy like Sung Jae-im, you don't want this break in the game to come. Look, nobody wants the break in the game to come. Everybody wants to keep playing. But for somebody like Jordan Spieth, it could be a blessing in disguise that he gets to go out and just take some time to himself to find his golf game, because that's really what he needs. He needs like a wilderness retreat golf edition where he just goes and finds his game and tries to come back when this hiatus is over and get back to the Jordan Spieth that we saw in the past. Look, I don't claim to be a huge Jordan Spieth fan, but I kind of like it whenever he's up near the leaderboards. I like it when he's playing good golf. I think it's exciting. I think people like it. And look, he's no Tiger. That's made itself very clear. But the game of golf needs more big names near the top of the leaderboard to get more people watching, to get more people interested. And he is one of those names. He became a household name in 2015. The game of golf needs him on leaderboards. Jordan Spieth being 198th in strokes gained off the tee and 180th in everything else, it's not good for the game. It's him missing cuts all the time in featured groups. It's not good for golf. So even though I don't consider myself somebody who sits around and roots for Jordan Spieth, I would like to see him get his game back.
It is good for the game. Like you said, there's a lot of people out there who really admire Spieth, you know, just because he as for as much as I, you know, criticize him just because he's a Texas fan and my dad loves him so much, I like to give him a hard time. But for what he does for the community and everything, he does sound like a very nice kid. And it is great for the game if he is able to get his game back that way. You know, maybe we can get some of these, you know, highlight matchups, you know, maybe him and Rory coming down, or maybe a Spieth and Koepka, you know, just because, you know, once – you know, with Tiger's back, you know, we're not necessarily sure how he'll come back and be foreman. And if Tiger's gone, we need some highlight matchups to be able to get the game keep sparking.
Yeah, no doubt. Where do you think Jordan Spieth ranks so far, 15 measured rounds in 2020, in driving accuracy percentage?
Driving accuracy. It's in the 200s?
Yep.
208 or something?
Oh, no, you gave him way too much credit. 227th
is where he ranks in driving accuracy. I didn't know they had that many players measured.
47.95% of fairways he's hitting. Out of a possible 415 fairways, he's only hit 199. So he's not hitting fairways, and that impacts, obviously, this next stat. Where do you think he ranks in greens and regulation percentage?
Is it somewhere very similar?
Yeah.
To what you said, he was 221 on
driving? He was 227 on driving accuracy.
214?
221. 221.
Man, I keep giving him way too much credit.
Yes, 221st in greens and regulation percentage, which, look, if you're not hitting fairways and you're not hitting greens, you put so much pressure on your short game to bail you out, and it just can't always do that. You can't always make 12-footers for par, and that's how we wind up with a 75 like he shot in the first round at the Players before it was canceled.
And these 200 numbers that we're reaching out there, this is out of 231 players, by the way.
That's how many are ranked?
That's the bottom rank is 231.
Oh, and he's 227.
227,
in driving accuracy percentage.
This is for 2020. Lucas Bernegard is as DFL with only 44.12, but he has not had that many rounds that are counted. But then the next best is 47.3, and Spieth is at 47.9. So he is about as close as you can get to being one of the worst drivers on the tour.
Yeah, by the way, if you're unfamiliar with the acronym, DFL stands for dead last, and we can let you figure out what the F means. Yeah. Pretty much. Pretty easy. Anything else in his swing you want to get to? That's about all the analytics I've got from a strokes gain standpoint.
Yeah. I'll go into a couple of things that I see here. So we've already talked about him hanging back on his backside a little bit. And I remember there was a story. I don't remember what network it was on or anything like that, but someone had walked up to Griller when Spieth and him were on the range, and someone had mentioned that Spieth's ball position looked like it was really far back in his stance. And Griller made some sort of comment like, "I'm not gonna tell him to do anything is Jordan Spieth. And looking back at some of the videos I see, I think it's almost clear that he does have a very his ball position could be moved forward, especially it's further back than it was back when he was playing his best. And that could be from numerous reasons. A lot of time we experience this in Oklahoma when you play in a lot of windy conditions. That's the tendency to get your ball back because you're constantly flighting the ball and trying to trap it and compress the ball. So I think he needs to work on that ball position, especially to get that fine-tuned. And then the other thing that I've noticed, him and McCormick, I remember listening to this when they first came out and Spieth was kind of just, you know, making his name in 2015. They were focusing a lot on the right elbow in the backswing, you know, making sure that it almost just folds essentially, and that's kind of what gets the club in the position that it needs to be. And from what I've seen, he almost has more of a flying elbow than he used to. So his arms are, especially on his irons from what I've seen, they're not near as connected to his body as he should be. So he's not able to be able to turn and keep his body in sequence as much as he would. So whenever you count all these things that we just mentioned, you know, the tempo, the hanging back, the ball position, you know, maybe – you know, for example, if he fixes the ball position, he might be able to get through the ball better because he might not have to stay back on it. So, you know, you can eliminate one of these issues and it might eliminate two or three in itself.
Yeah, and to think that it really could be something as small as ball position. I mean, ball position, it impacts what angle you come down into every single golf shot that you're hitting, whether it's with your driver or your 60 degree. And, I mean, if the ball is an inch too far forward, an inch too far back. I talk from time to time about my wife picking up the game, and sometimes I have to stand in front of her, and she'll ask me because she hasn't played enough to feel it. She'll say, "Is this okay where this is at? Do I need to move this forward or backward?" And try to have it the same every time, because if let's say every time you hit a 7-iron, the ball is just 1 inch in a different place in your stance every time you hit a 7-iron, how do you expect to make consistent swings? You can't.
You're not going to.
Yeah, you're going to make different swings every time. So, yeah, man, a lot of things for Jordan Spieth to talk about. Maybe we should tag him whenever we send out this link.
We can, yeah. Just so he might be able to turn his game around. He can credit us. Maybe we can get some royalty rights for it.
I mean, I think we should get probably 10% of career earnings moving forward.
Hey, let's take 10% of career earnings going back to 2014.
That is a great idea. Much better idea than what I had. All right, this was a lot of fun. First player profile. You got something else you want to get to before we get
out of here? Yeah, just a couple other tidbits that I've mentioned. You know, from what I see on Spieth's putting, whenever his putting tends to get worse, you know, like we said, he was second on tour last year, but before, even on his great years, he was 50th or whatever. His head tends to move a lot, you know. A lot of people have noticed, you know, like he's really good on 10 to 15 footers and even those longer 25 to 30 footers. So, and on some of those short ones, he can just kind of start looking up at the hole at it. And that's something that all of us can take in our game, you know, make sure to keep your head down or especially – a lot of people don't think about this, but you keep your eyes still because you can keep your head as still as you want, but if your eyes are moving all over the place, you're not going to do very well. And then the only other correlation I want to get to, I don't know if this has anything to do with it at all, but Spieth did get engaged in December of 2017.
Conspiracy. Conspiracy.
You never know what goes on behind the scenes, and you know, and from the way I understand it, he had dated this girl since they were in high school or junior.
Sweet, I think,
yeah, so they've been getting it for. It's not like it's a sugar mom or anything like that. Whenever you're looking at timeline and correlations, it's one interesting coincidence.
Yeah, definitely. You know, all those things can play a factor. And again, we can't pinpoint exactly what has caused Jordan Spieth to go from the best golfer in the world to the 56th best golfer in the world. And quite frankly, he's not even that at this point. That's just where he's fallen in the official world golf rankings from these poor finishes over the last couple years.
So. Yeah, he's had over the last 2 years his best finish. He's only finished third 3 times over the last 2 years. Luckily, two of those were majors, though.
Yeah, that's true. The
2018 Masters, and then the PGA, like we mentioned earlier.
PGA Bethpage, yeah, that's right. Yeah, good stuff. So this was our first player profile. We'll have another one coming your way next Friday. This is what we're doing. If you weren't with us on Tuesday whenever we explained it, we're doing a feature episode every Tuesday and then player profiles on Fridays. So for the feature episodes, we might be talking about slow play or bifurcation, the dialing back of golf balls and golf clubs, things of that nature. And then on Fridays, doing player profiles like we did today on Jordan Spieth, breaking down a player's game, all the analytics, all the statistics, and trying to really figure out these different pros and taking a deep look at their games, which I think is pretty fascinating.
Yeah, it definitely is. And for sure, shout us out on Twitter and social media. You know, what guys do you want us to look into? You know, for us, you know, we're fairly young in the game. So, you know, if you say someone like Billy Casper or Arnold Palmer, you know, we might not be as insightful as some of the others. But, you know, any other players that you want us to go over, no matter if it's a legend or if it's someone playing now or, you know, a young and up and comer, you know, let us know who you want to hear about and we'll definitely get to them.
Yeah, I wonder what Arnie strokes gained off the tee were in 64, probably. I wonder where he was at.
God, it would be so interesting if, you know, obviously there's no way to do it now, but if you could go back
and find that, and
for like equipment and stuff too, you know, to see exactly, you know, how it was. And the biggest thing is, you know, we'll get into this on the distance debate as well, but the greens are so much different now than they were back then. You know, the faster greens, it would be interesting to see, you know, exactly how much worse at putting, you know, or how much harder it was to put on those slower greens than it is now.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. So a lot of good stuff coming your way. Like Taylor said, find us on social media at Colby J. Powell, at T_Williams101. Glad everyone was with us today for this Jordan Spieth player profile. Let us know any other players you want to hear about. We will be back on Tuesday with another feature episode. Thanks for listening once again to the 73rd Hole.